I haven't been really sore for 3 months because this is smart training. My periodization in my training is built upon reps until six. So I don't go higher than six reps.
Yo, gorillas, welcome to the Athlete Insider podcast by Gornation. My name is Phil, and today's guest is the Dutch calisthenics beast, Barbara Das Athlete from the Netherlands. I'm super happy to welcome you to the show, Badreddin.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I know Gornation has great athletes who can join the podcast, so I'm very thankful to be here.
That's super cool. I'm also really happy that we made it, and maybe I can just talk about and tell the people the small story that we have. Like, you don't even know it, but like, we follow you already since a lot of years. So like, I think already since I don't know, maybe 2017, 18, something. Yeah. But yeah, like, mainly because you have like a really, really inspiring physique. You have like a really cool lifestyle that also inspires me with ice bath and all these like things that are really impressive. And I think it was in November 2019 that you've been to the Calisthenics Cup in the Netherlands, and you've done like I've just seen your numbers, and I was like, oh damn, this is like, damn, it's not only like a strong physique, but it's also like somebody who's really, really strong. We will just fade in the numbers here, but I think it was 26 dips with 48 kg, and it was a mixture between like really strong weighted numbers but also like endurance. So I was already thinking, yeah, it would be really cool to interview this guy and to learn about how you combine and how you become this like complete athlete. So yeah, we finally made it. Big thanks already for taking the time, and I'm really looking forward to jump into this interview.
Yeah, me too.
So maybe let's just start with the question that's already like always super, super interesting. How did you get in touch with the sport? How did you discover calisthenics?
So yeah, it's a way back. If you've been following me from 2018-19, before that, I was already doing calisthenics for almost 5 years. And I started actually in the gym. I did fitness for a year. And then after a year, I found out, is this it, you know? I was already very buff for 1 year of training, so I saw potential. And then I came along a good friend of mine and he introduced me to calisthenics. Actually, he was still is part of Bar Brothers, and was back in the day called Bar Brothers Netherlands. Mm-hmm. And we had a great team and a YouTube channel back in the day. So they introduced me to this sport, and I quickly saw my potential actually. And they were amazed as well how fast I progressed in calisthenics. So from then I was kind of in love with the sport. And as a kid, I already loved doing push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups. It was basic stuff for me. I saw it in movies, in action movies from Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone, it's, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme, these names you might know. And and then I came along Ivan Marchioli. He came to the Netherlands. Ivan Marchioli is well known for his muscle ups. And I saw physiques from Lazar, Dusan, and some other athletes back in the day. I was like, is this possible with calisthenics? And I got so inspired. And after a couple of months doing calisthenics, I saw the real gains come, they came, and it was different gains than fitness gains actually, because it's combined with way more challenging mentally. It was way challenging, more challenging for me, and that was very addictive for me. So
Wow. So was it the physique of these guys that you just named that pulled you and got you addicted to the sport, or was it the performance, or what was it, what made you want to start?
Because of the beginning years, it's very normal to when you see it as a young guy. I was 16, 17. Somebody usually starts to change their body. That's where it starts. And then the mindset mindset shift came. And after maybe a year or something, I looked into Bar Brothers and I spoke with Ivan, and then I saw that it's not really about the physique. It's of course a tool to inspire people, but it's actually about the mindset. And I think it's beautiful to inspire people. That was always the main goal of Bar Brothers. And it's my why changed in inspiring people and more people joining the community and more people joining calisthenics training instead of just focusing on the physique. And of course, training your physique is challenging as well, but you have to I think working out is a great way to challenge yourself mentally. It's overall known that it's a great way to challenge yourself mentally.
True. And as I can see from social media, at least, you're a big fan of challenges. This is why you compete in like competitions, but you also challenge yourself, I guess, with as I said, like the ice bathing. And maybe you can tell us like about your mindset a little. Have you always been like a competitive person? Have you always been like focusing on competition?
Yeah, I think. I think as a little kid, I really liked to be challenged and to join challenges, and I couldn't I didn't like losing. So that's right now I know how to handle the losing better than back in the day, but I used to get really mad when I lost, even in like simple gym. Challenges on school, simple stuff like that, and I truly knew this isn't what I can do, you know. So I kept improving, and didn't share a lot with the people actually how I trained. But I was like in the background, I was working, and it was never enough. Still now, it's still not enough. I'm blessed, of course, and I'm thankful, but I'm still very hungry after 7-8 years now. So, yeah.
And are you more like a silent worker? Because I mean, you're not inactive on social media, but you don't share every workout, right? Or like, how do you do it?
Yeah, people might know where I come from, because when I work out, I'm in the zone. So every camera, people who talk can be a distraction at some days. Now I know how to handle it. I just place the camera there, or I ask somebody to record. But it was a long process to get used to that, because I needed 2,000% of focus for the training. That's how I saw the best results. And if you ask many people the best workouts, they usually have them alone. You know, the you versus you. It's usually like this. And along the way, it wasn't about me anymore. You know, you see, you inspire people. So that shift, it was a mindset shift to understand that if you record, it will inspire people. Even if it is a simple story that you're working out, people will see and they will join. And that was a great mindset shift for me to just stay active. Even though I have some breaks, but I try to stay active. Yeah.
Nice. So can you tell us about what you are working on right now? Like, what I would be also interested in. I see the previous days you uploaded like I think it was 5 reps of 70 kg pull-ups. Like today you uploaded your extremely heavy dip. How many kg was that? Was it?
Yeah, it was 152.5 kilogram.
Wow.
But it's not my max. It's just a show. It was a little update, you know, just show where I'm at. But it's not even close to where I will be in a couple of months. I've been working on pure strength. That's the difference. Yeah. So Right now is the perfect example. When you focus on one thing, you get super, super good at that one thing. So if I combine strength with endurance right now, my strength might be not as good as my, how do you say, it will go down because mm-hmm. you don't train specific strength anymore. So you have to find blocks where you focus on certain parts, like my skills. I haven't touched skills in a while because my priority is strength right now. So I'm actually working to a higher one rep max actually. And yeah, it's on the dips, on the pull-ups and on the chin-ups. And then I have a lot of side work exercises who support these three exercises actually.
How long is like one of these blocks? Because as you said, like you have strength, you have endurance and skills. Is it like these three blocks that you have?
Yeah. Usually it's endurance, strength, skills, and then you have flexibility, mobility as well. Yeah. Because that was still is one of my weakest points. Because you're so addicted to making progress, but actually the real progress when you are experienced athletes is in these smaller things like flexibility, mobility. This is a way to get strength from a different, like especially chin-ups. My mobility was right here with my chin-ups. So I changed my mobility to get to here and my chin-ups went up because I worked on my wrist mobility as an example. And my pull-ups as well. My dips as well. So I focus on technique. I focus on strengthening my shoulders actually with bands and stuff. So my dips went up crazy because I found ways to kind of hacks in the system to work on the to get stronger in these exercises by not working on the exercise itself.
That's super interesting. How do you find these weak links? Like, how do you film yourself? Do you hire a coach? Like, what's the best thing?
Actually, when you have a coach, that can be a game changer, especially for beginners. When you have a good coach, it will fasten your progress a lot. Some people do push-ups, for example, wrong for years, and then they stumble upon someone who taught them the right way or teach them the right way. And they make insane progress in these next months because they do the exercise right. So I live together with a physiotherapist, which helps a lot. He's a good friend of mine.
Lucky so that, you.
Yeah. I'm very lucky, but that explains these hacks. And he can just see imbalances by looking at you. How is your posture? How we analyze movements? Where are you at now? How do you train? Do you train specific on exercises or you might need a new exercise to improve? Because usually when I was at under 35 kilogram dip and that was kind of a plateau for me. Then I found out there are ways to get stronger in dips by just focusing on strength only. The stronger athletes you see in calisthenics, they are super strong in these, there's one guy, a Russian guy, I think, it's Matthew Zlat, is insane. I saw his podcast, he explains that he's just focusing on two or three exercises, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it, he's just doing that and he's killing it. Why? Because he's so consistent with these three exercises. I know he can do one-arm pull-ups, front levers, stuff like that, which is a byproduct of these insane weighted numbers. But you never see him do endurance because it might fuck up with his progress and his strength because your system is built like that. So I saw that. I've been focusing on strength for 3 months consistently. Before Ramadan, I started. I saw opportunity to join a one rep max competition. So I started training 3 months ago. Then Ramadan came. I thought my progress went down. No, my progress went up. I saw a way in Ramadan by training 2 hours before breaking the fast. It improves, ketosis. You come in a ketosis state, keto. From ketosis diet, it's a thing in your brain, and HGH, it's human growth hormone, which you stimulate by big amount of percentages when you fast. It's just shown in studies. So I found that way, which helps. And then now I'm a month, I think, past Ramadan, and my gains went insanely up. It's insane. And it's just the beginning. Yeah, it's just the beginning. So yeah, right now, specific training on strength, and I see great results. Actually, when I leave the other stuff like endurance skills, I leave behind, I focus on strength. And now the real gains start like the game change. Like, this is the game changer for me. You focus on one thing a lot and then you get insanely good. Of course, you need good genetics to get better in certain movements. But when you found out your strong points and you focus on that, you get insane. Mm-hmm.
Super interesting. I think I asked you, like, how long is one block for you? How many months? Do you already have a plan for that? Or will you just continue until you feel that you don't make progress anymore?
Yeah. It has to stay challenging for me, and I have to keep seeing results. So for me, I have blocks of focusing on, like, for example, now strength. When I get boring with strength, then I think I will do some push-up challenge or something. Mm-hmm. But I've actually never focused on bringing my push-up to a certain number or whatever. So that's a whole new world. Like, I can open and focus on that for a while. So coming back to your question, a block can consist of, let's say, at least three weeks. Like, at least 3 weeks to two months, something like that, to 2 months. I saw this block, I saw the real gains after like 2 months. Mm-hmm. That's because I've been training all around. As you know, I've been training endurance, strength, physique, hypertrophy, which is way different than strength. You know, it's a different game, and you get soreness. I haven't been really sore for 3 months. Because this is smart training. My periodization in my training is built upon reps until 6. So I don't go higher than 6 reps. So if I go up, I've just tested it. I do sets with weighted pull-ups above 6 reps, I get sore the next day, really sore. So I found 6 reps is the max for me to train strength, to improve on strength and not get sore. So it's ideal, actually. You can just, I make sure I don't train more days than 4 times a week, actually. So it's not, you can't really train 6 or 7 days a week on this level of strength. You can't. It's just not ideal. Mm-hmm.
Because I would be like, you talked about Matthew, which was also really like a really inspiring interview for a lot of people. And I think his training approach is like really inspiring, whether you like it or you don't. I would be interested in your opinion and about his injury. You know, like, maybe he I think you saw that he ripped his biceps, teared his biceps tendon a few weeks ago. And I would be interested in your opinion about training, like, maybe not on the specific case of Matthew now, but the approach of training only few exercises but train them really regularly, because the disadvantage that could appear is that the body doesn't get enough rest and is like too much stress on the body because it's always the same exercise. What's your opinion on that?
My opinion is that I talked about side work exercises, so I really wasn't about side work exercises until I met a good friend of mine. My roommate actually is a physiotherapist. He taught me that if I don't do these side work exercises, yes, I will get injuries, insane injuries in my sternum. I had a sternum injury for 2 years, insane. I have to pop, like, you know, these pops in your sternum, or front shoulder pain, stuff like that. Bicep pain in chin-ups. I don't have these pains anymore. Why? Because I'm 2 to 3 hours on each training. My sessions are 2 to 3 hours per training session. That's because after my training session, I have to work on the site work exercises. So this is a whole way of thinking next level. You have to recover. You have to see your training, your recovery as important as your training itself. So if you don't focus on your recovery exercise and your recovery, your sleep, your nutrition, your water, you won't get to the next level. It's a full circle. It has to be 100% on everything. That's what I'm talking about, going to the next level, to insane levels. But if you're a regular guy just working out, just do your thing. But even on that, you can just find improvements in these things like sleep and side work exercises. So side work exercises are built on the movement, specific movements like the dip, the pull-up, and the chin-up.
Okay. Maybe we can go through these categories that you just mentioned. I know sleep was one of them, nutrition, water, like maybe we can go through each one of them. And sure. Maybe you can give some general advice that you would recommend to somebody like listening.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, let's start with sleep, for example.
Okay. I have an Apple Watch, which shows me that I've slept good deep hours of rest, so good sleep. My minimum is at least 7 hours. If you're training every week consistently for at least 3 or 4 times, you need 7 hours. Maybe you have 5 hours, but that stuff is just not healthy and optimal, right? So 7 hours is the minimum. For me, I sleep every night 8.5 to 9 hours, sometimes even longer. So you can imagine sleep has effects on your testosterone for males. Insane. Sleep is the most underrated thing. Sleep is what athletes has to focus on. If you fix your sleep, usually stuff around your training will improve immensely. If you have sleep problems, attack the problem. Sometimes I know you have private things, you have work, you can't really, but there's still choices. Like you choose for the job, there's still choices. So I've made a choice. I work from home. So I can build a routine to improve my sleep. So I build a routine to improve my sleep to go and not to bed later than 12 p.m. or something, you know? Don't go later. If you go later, you fuck up your sleep, you fuck up your training. You fuck up your training, you fuck up your goals, you fuck up your results, you know? And at the end, I train for these results because I'm competing. So I have to beat these guys eventually. So that's how I think. The night before, I make sure I have built a routine to improve my sleep. If I don't stick to that routine, or find a way to improve my sleep, then it's actually not the sleep I have to focus on, but the routines before. It's a whole, it's all part of the process, finding what works best for you.
Super interesting. Yeah, super, super nice. Like that's super cool. Also like in these days, like especially a lot of people are saying, I don't know, hustle, you have to hustle, like sleep is waste of time. Also like this quote from Schwarzenegger, like back in the days, that's like, you just have to sleep faster, like 6 hours is enough. Like there are a lot of opinions flying around. This is why I'm super interested in your advice and in your experience, that you feel like a big boost through sleep.
Yes.
Super cool.
Yeah. I know the 6 hour or the 5 hour and stuff like this. I don't know how these guys do this, but maybe it's genetics. Maybe it's your body getting used to 5 or 6 hours. And maybe these guys, when they sleep 5 or 6 hours, they have insanely good deep sleep. So they have phases in their sleep where they get more advantage, more recovery than somebody who sleeps 10 hours and 1 hour of deep sleep. So it's so different per person. I can't really say that 6 hours is bad, but I take 7 hours and it's literally a minimum for people who work out a lot. It's like a minimum.
Yeah.
And I think I have read, or my roommate has read studies about sleep, and it's been studied. It's known, well known, that is very important. And people who overwork and do less hours, when you speak to them, most of these guys, they end up in burnouts or any other mental problems. They would say maybe it's a sacrifice. It is a sacrifice on your health, actually. You sacrifice your sleep, you sacrifice your health, that's it. But it's a choice. I'm just looking at the optimal way to improve overall health and fitness.
Yeah, and there are like factors that we didn't consider now. For example, women need more sleep than men. This is like something that has to be considered. And as you like talked about quality of sleep, I think I read like a book where it was also mentioned that if the body is so intelligent and so sensitive while sleeping, that if you sleep and there is like just a little light on your foot, for example, that you don't get into deep sleep as bad, as good as you if you would be in like a completely dark room. So like sleeping in a completely dark room and like there are different things that you can improve, like the air, like the humidity, et cetera, et cetera, that can improve this quality of sleep. So,
I sleep close to a window, but the curtains are always closed. Sleeping hygiene is very important. Staying hydrated before you sleep is very important. Building a routine, as I said, preparing your mind to get to sleep, putting your phone away, very important. These things are so basic for me, but not for a lot of people. They can improve their sleep by just these things: putting the light down, having, of course, the sound. But you don't. I live in close to the city. Usually, I have these sounds, but eventually, you get used to it. Living in the city, actually, but the ideal way is getting the dark. The room dark as possible. Your brain knows when it's light, like these your brain knows when it's light. When you wake up, you need as much sunlight because it sends a signal to your brain to wake up, to get energized. When you sleep, it's the same. It has to be dark. Your brain works like that.
So having talked about sleep, which is something super interesting and important for you, we can go to the next topic of your routine, of your like just lifestyle. And one thing that you just said, like, was hydration, water. What can you tell us about that?
You have this minimum of 2 liters a day of water for a healthy man, I think. A regular man has to drink at least 2 liters, but it may differ per person. Some people drink 1.5 liter, 1 liters, but it's different when you work out. You lose way more than a regular person on an office job, maybe, or with a less active lifestyle. For me, I need 3 to 4 liters. It sounds a lot, but I drink 3 to 4 liters. I really need it. And you see insane results in skin, in energy levels. And I'm fasting right now. It's like 4 p.m. and I'm fasting, actually. And I still my hunger by drinking water, which helps a lot. So and I drink coffee, so it dehydrates. So I have to keep up with my water intake. It's very different per person how much liters of water you need. You can test it out, and what is realistic for yourself to drink, you know. And I have a big, I would say, the stuff in your body where the pee goes in. It's very large. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know the organ where your pee goes, and you know. For mine is very big, so I can store a lot of pee and actually wait with peeing. But a lot of people, they really have to go to the toilet every 50 minutes. And you see women all the time, they don't drink a lot because it's annoying to find a toilet. For us, we can do our peeing everywhere we want, every tree we want. So it's really looking what works for you. Most athletes, I really recommend 2.5 to 3. Like if you train 3-4 times a week, just test it out, see how your body works. Sometimes it takes some days to get used to more water in your system, because especially people who have struggles with gaining weight, drinking water fills you up. So you can eat less. And if you can eat less, then you can gain weight. And if you want to gain weight, then you might drink a lot of water. So it's you can go endless. You have to look at an individual. There's no certain perfect leaders. I just look at ranges of drinking water. Normal person, 2 liters. Somebody who works out, 2.5 to 3, maybe 4. I hear some people who drink 5, but I think or they do a lot of cardio, or they just need it, I don't know, or work out 7 to 10 times a week. Like pro soccer players, they train almost every day. If you ask them how much water do you drink, usually it's maybe 4 or 5 liters. So it depends on what sport you do, how much you lose in sweating. And for me, I am doing pure strength now. I need less water actually than I did in the park. So when I train endurance, I sweat more. I really need a lot. And right now it's just chilling. I do a set, I rest for 3 to 4 minutes, and I do the set again. So it's like really chilled training now.
Yeah. What's your opinion on sweetened drinks?
Yeah, it's actually a great tool to lose weight, especially Cola Zero, Coke Zero. I know there's aspartame, you know, these bad things, but I think you need a huge amount to make it have insane bad effects on your body. That's what I think. I've seen it as a great tool to lose weight, to still your hunger, to drink zero calorie drinks. For pre-workouts, I use coffee. So that's might be interesting to know. I just drink coffee in the morning and before workout. Sometimes I forget my coffee before workout, it's no problem. Sometimes I forget my headphones in the workouts, no problem. It's just all tools, you know, to reach your goals.
Yeah, and you shouldn't get dependent on them, I guess. So think there are people who always drink a Red Bull before a workout, or like that always a routine can always also be like a prison. That's maybe like a thought that I want to bring into this thing here, into this conversation, because it's really good if you have like a routine which supports you and which brings you like to more performance, to more happiness in life and structure. But you should always, you shouldn't get dependent on it, and you shouldn't fall into a deep depression if you don't get your coffee in the morning. And I see that for a lot of people who are like super dependent on coffee.
They're actually addicted. So they're basically junkies, you know. They're like drug addiction, because caffeine is a drug, and if you're addicted to coffee, you're actually addicted to a drug. That's it. And I just like the taste, but I feel after drinking coffee, I have to keep sipping water, because coffee dehydrates, and dehydration leads to many bad things. Actually, your body is how much percent? Above 90% made of liquid water. So you have to adjust.
True. Coming to the next topic of your routine, the next part, let's talk about nutrition. And especially I would be super interested about your style of fasting, because you said that you didn't eat today, or that you're still fasting. So maybe you can tell us more about your nutrition.
Yeah, I'm a fair believer of getting to know your body throughout the years. That's like the main key to getting at your best, getting to know your own body, because there's no perfect way to do a diet or whatever. I'm no fan of diets. My diet is, everyone has a diet, but not like written down and stuff. Mine is like a lifestyle, and intermittent fasting is a way to of my lifestyle. It's just a part of my lifestyle. So for me, fasting is a tool to lose weight and to have more focus in the morning. So I have built up in the year. I've been fasting since 2018 or 19. So it's a long time actually. But in the beginning, it's super hard for me to work to fast until 11. I was so hungry at 10 or 9. I was so hungry. I was like, I need food. But if you can still your hunger, yeah, then I think that's a great strength to build. If you can still your hunger, that's why you know, the Ramadan Muslim do. I'm Muslim as well, so I do the Ramadan too. I know Ramadan is more about just fasting. Of course, it's about the belief and more getting closer to God. But about the fasting, there's actually great benefits to fasting if you do it at least 16 hours a day. So 8 hours window of eating, 16 hours of fasting. Right now, I'm fasting actually for 18 hours. You have to find a sweet spot while fasting. What fits for you? You have to find a sweet spot. There's no perfect hour you have to eat or break your fast. You have to find the sweet spot for yourself. My sweet spot is between 16 and 18 hours. That's my sweet spot. And I have some days I just need breakfast. I really need egg whites or whatever to for my body. I just feel wrong to not eat. I'm not getting too hard for myself. I eat my breakfast, the next day I'm fine, I can fast again. But I also have blocks where I have family stuff, or I wanna eat breakfast with this person. You know, I have a social life as well. So I take time to eat breakfast, no problem. I'm no robot to do this every day. I just adapt, adjust. That's what I do. That's my lifestyle. It's actually a great way to look at things. But it's very challenging to find. Some people will never find what fits for them. They keep sticking to some diets. They drop with the diets. You see a lot of people, they stick to a diet. They get shredded 2 months. They're super insane shape, and then they get insanely fat after this diet. They get like, you go extreme, you get extreme back. You know what I mean? So balance, I don't know. Right now I don't really have balance, but I kind of have balance, you know? So I have, you need to find the sweet spot. That's all I can say. Fit what fits you, man. It's a great journey. It's a great journey to find out.
Sure. And I also think it's like different, like as you said, it's different from person to person, but it's also something where people, when they start, they are so motivated, they think they have to do it to an extreme, and then they can't keep up the diet and the thing. So they don't see that like adjusting, because it took you years to become that, like that known to your body, that like just exploring your body and like developing this lifestyle, this routine. And yeah, that's something that you would recommend definitely to people as well, to just listen to their body and to develop from year to year.
Yeah. I actually haven't tested out many diets because I've never been a fan of dieting. Mm-hmm. It really didn't fit for me. But for some people, it's a great start to really change their lifestyle, to change their nutrition. So it's not a really bad thing. But I don't think it's meant for a lot of people, that diets just don't work. A guidance would be way better. Mm-hmm. Just a guidance, somebody will go and guide you through a healthier lifestyle. That sounds way, way better for me, and for many people would work better. So somebody who really enjoys pizza and he just really needs pizza or other delicious foods, but this guy says you can't eat it, you know, because you have to lose weight. He says it with a good reason, because you want to lose weight and you have to stick to this program to eat. But you want to get old and happy. what about that? You know, what about your feeling about eating? You have to feel good. That's the whole other thing. It's not just about the body. It's about enjoying the whole lifestyle of getting healthy. So it's very important that you keep enjoying your foods. And a way to like change the pizza is to make a pizza yourself, for example, you know, make a healthier pizza. That's a way, but it's very hard to beat like the unhealthy pizzas. They're just the best. They're just the best. Yeah, or homemade pizza from an Italian grandmother or from my mother, you know. They're just the best. There's just no question about it. Homemade food is very unbeatable.
True. But I just have to think about your comment on the Coke Zero or something, like to still the hunger and maybe exploring the possibilities that you have, like for a homemade calorie. Like there are so many, I see this on TikToks, you know, like healthy burgers in 30 seconds, you know, like, and then somebody shows a recipe or something. There are ways, but I just have to support your message that there is no better pizza than the unhealthy one, but maybe you can find a solution for you that makes you happy. Yeah, maybe yeah. For some people it's,
you know, I wasn't really fan of vegan the vegan diet and the soya burgers and stuff like that, but I've tasted actually amazing vegan food, and there are ways to make they look stuff the food looks unhealthy, but you can make it healthy. But it's just the spices and the way you make it. So there is many, many ways, but again, you have to find in nutrition a sweet spot of combining maybe unhealthy, but unhealthy. If you can stick to healthy diet, please stick to it. But realistically seeing, looking at most people I speak or see on YouTube, whatever, the main reason they can't stick to the diet because it's too extreme. It's way too extreme for many people.
Yeah. So something I didn't even ask you, how old are you?
I'm 25.
25. So I see like a lot of the athletes that I interview, but also a lot of people in the community, they say, yeah, I can eat whatever I want. Like workout is the most important thing. And they are 18, 19, 20, 21. And they feel like they can eat anything and still make progress and have like insane results. What are your thoughts on that? Is it because of the age? Does it change? Yeah. I don't know with... Yeah,
it has all to do with growth. So your hormones, your testosterone gets higher. So for a beginning, you know, it's insane. My little brother, he has insane physique too. He has the same genetics. People accuse this guy. He trained 2 months, but 2 months with me and with my friends train hardcore. You can change literally your body in 2 months more than somebody who trains 2 years. That's how crazy, how fast something can go in a certain period of growth, of a certain period of age. Some people, they see insane growth when they're 14, you know, like Matthew, I saw, I think, old videos of him. He was 15, 14, insanely strong. Why? Was I think that's where he kept growing. That's how we saw, like he kept getting stronger and better built. You know, that's the age. But for somebody, it could be 18 or 19 where they get the growth. For me, I think it was 16 or 17 where I started fitness, and I gained about maybe 10 kilograms in a very short time. But you're not shredded to shred it. You're just lean or bulky, you know, lean bulk. You know, you're kind of fat and lean, kind of lean. You're lean, but you're getting stronger. That's possible. You can be shredded. Yeah, well, actually, there are young athletes who are very shredded and they keep growing. That's the strange thing. You would say it's not possible, but I think it's possible because they're in their growth. It's insane what growth does to your body and to your it's insane. It debunks every scientific thing about gaining muscle in a certain period, what's naturally possible. It debunks everything. But people with knowledge, I think, they understand that if you're in a growth period when you're younger years, that a lot of things are possible. You can grow like 10 centimeters in a year. It's possible. Why? I don't know. It's your genetics. You can grow like from 180 to 190. You see these things. You see these guys. You see them last year. They have grown insane. They haven't used anything. So it's insane how the body works. It's very different.
That's true. And it's super individual. So yeah.
Super individual.
Yeah. As you couldn't say, yeah, you have to drink 2.27 liters per day because it's individual per person. It's the same for nutrition. You know, you can't, like, vegan diet isn't good for everybody. Like, there are people who need a lot of protein for their lifestyle and for their goals, but they don't they can't eat beans, or they have like a soya intolerance or something. So it wouldn't be for them.
You really make your life harder than it should be. Like, literally.
Yeah. So health-wise, it's definitely, you have to listen to your body, you have to study it, you have to maybe invest into like a coach, like physiotherapist, like you did, or like look for a physiotherapist on the street to become friend with, or like you have to invest into a nutritionist, or like it depends.
Very true.
So we've covered sleep, water, nutrition. What else? Like, tell us some more secrets to your 152.5 kg dip and like to these crazy numbers and physique.
How do you say? What can I say? Well, the strength part is actually makes sense if I explain that I haven't done anything besides strength these couple 3 months. That's what's my focus. So how I am built today, in endurance, strength, flexibility, statics, everything is the result of 8 years of combining everything. Yeah. So right now my focus is strength, but I see physical results as well, because it's a different way of training. So 6 reps is actually hypertrophy as well. You know, if you do 15 reps or 12 reps, I would be sore like the next day. That's I want to explain that if you focus on strength for a while, you can get sore when you change your rep ranges. So maybe beginners, when they stick too much to in a rep range of 10 to 12, like, or 8 to 12, the hypertrophy range, which is well known, and you stick for that for a while, your body gets used to it. But if you train with me and you do 20 sets of 8 to 12, you know, instead of 3 or 4, I guarantee you're going to grow, or you're going to feel sore or whatever. Growth is not parallel to, to soreness. In some degree it is, but I don't think soreness, if you're sore, it necessarily means you're growing. But in my experience, usually I grow if I get a little bit sore, maybe a little bit sore. Sometimes super sore when you do insane numbers like 1,000 push-ups in an hour, you know. Of course, the next day you're going to feel your chest. It's just... but I have no secrets. I believe there are with every athlete there are certain things they use, not use in steroids, but tricks or hacks with that works insane. So my tip to everybody: study as many athletes, preferably somebody who looks your same body type as you. Study them, study their exercises, study their way of living, study the progress they make, study, look at the stories. Yeah, that's a great thing to get better yourself. Try these things, see if it works for you. You know, picking random workouts from YouTube, bullshit exercise, you will see a lot of routines. I try these exercises. I let a beginner try this. It makes no sense because there's no periodization in your training. You know, there's no way how you see progress. I think there are general workouts that people can just take. You have Mad Bars, these app. There are plenty of people who have seen amazing results with these apps, or the system from the barbell as they launch a big program. It has changed. I still get people, they message me, look at my transformation, I follow the system, insane results. And there you have the haters or the people who tried it, and it's way too hard, you know? It's way too hard a program for them. But you see, it's very, very different. And it's again, a journey to find and learn about your body yourself. So observe, adjust, reflect, and give yourself feedback, record yourself, learn. That's like maybe the secret. Learn, keep learning, keep learning, keep adjusting, find what works for you. Don't stop at this guy, amazing physique. You look at him, I just copy his stuff and it doesn't work. Of course it doesn't work. You don't know anything about what he does or exactly what he does. So it gets crazy and crazier every year, like on the social media, these bullshit workouts that people share. They're actually not doing these workouts, I believe that. And if I have to share my workouts on my story, they actually make no fucking sense. They make no sense for a lot of people. There are some workouts I do. I start with 100 kilo dips. Okay. I go to the push-ups. I do 150 kilogram push-ups. Okay, then next, I do 100 muscle-ups. After these muscle-ups, I go around 5 kilometers. I've done this stuff. It makes no sense for people. But is that the best way to build muscle? You know, fuck off with the best way. There's no best way. That's the whole point I want to actually share with people. There's no best way. There's a best way for you. There might be a best way for you, but there's no general best way for everybody. There isn't. That's maybe the secret.
Yeah. And this is maybe also the point of these interviews and this podcast, because you see like Matthew sharing his advice, you see an endurance athlete like Max Tru sharing his approach and advice. It depends on the goals. It depends on the body type. It depends on the lifestyle. You know, like some people are working night shift. Some like they, yes. They, you know, like there are so many things that can influence the reason why the work of Badr is like not the one that I should follow. And this is like, yeah, I think you brought it to the point. I really,
yeah. So this. For example, somebody who works night shifts and that guy has found a way for to make it work with night shifts, with different shifts. I really would like to these people to show up and share their experience with other people, because there are so many people who look at ways, they are still looking for ways to adjust their training with work, with getting enough sleep, everything. But if you find a way, please share it with people. And really, there are people, so many people are still looking, like for me, I have an office job, I work administration. For me, it's very flexible and it's very easy to go to my kitchen, cook an egg. But if you don't work home or have a physical job and you burn 3,000 calories, yeah? It's so much different than me sitting on this chair and doing my work. It's so much different. And for example, somebody who works night shifts has an ectomorph body type, like really skinny. Don't get weight easily. They don't gain weight easily. Night shifts, poor sleep, ectomorph body. Man, all these things are so bad, you know, in disadvantage to build muscle. Then even for these people, there's hope. There are people who make it work. Maybe not the ideal way, but they make it work. So we have to find a way to make it work. And if you like getting sick of looking for something that works, then you might have to take a different job, man. Maybe take a different job, yeah. Or move to a certain city where you can maybe sleep better or have a better lifestyle. I know it's easier because I live in the Netherlands. You have many more opportunities than maybe, I don't know, India, for example, you know, Mumbai or whatever. in India, maybe it's way harder to get certain foods or to get this job. You know, we live in a Western society over here. You have better opportunities than certain countries. So it's a big audience of mine are from India, for example. If I tell them to eat this, they can't get that stuff from the supermarket. They just have basic stuff like, not everybody, I don't want to put everybody in one bubble, but I see what happens. And it's very hard for some people to find, and financially, to find the right nutrition, what works for you. And it's very challenging for a lot of people. We actually have it quite easy in this, and maybe in Germany too, in Netherlands. The supermarkets everywhere, maybe not the best quality food, but you can make it work. You just walk to the supermarket, get some bananas, blueberries, milk, and oatmeal. You have a great fucking meal. It beats every protein shake out there. Oatmeal, milk, bananas, blueberries, boom. Power meal, yeah. Easy.
Yeah,
it's not. It's actually quite simple. The idea is simple, but it's hard actually to adjust and to make it work for yourself. That's hard. That's the hard part. But the idea is simple. It's not rocket science. It's not rocket science.
Yeah. So how would you describe your nutrition? Like, you eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, or like, how can you describe it?
I'm looking around. Right now, what works, I got to be honest, I'm kind of a cheater. Like, mm-hmm. I cheat a lot. Mm-hmm. I eat donuts. I eat cookies. I eat all this stuff. I eat chocolate. I love chocolate, you know. It has effects on my workouts, on my energy levels, everything. So when you look at it that way, you feel way better when you put good stuff in your engine, in your body. So what I eat, for example, what if I eat for breakfast? I eat fruits. Lately, I've been eating, for me, it's fasting. So it's my breakfast actually is in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. My breakfast is in the afternoon, so oatmeal, blueberries, fruit, or I start with eggs. Usually it's oatmeal, fruits, or eggs. Eggs I combine with turkey, you know, these stuff you can buy in the supermarket, turkey, sliced turkey. Sometimes I eat sandwiches, just whole grain bread, usually with sandwiches. I make it delicious with some sauce. Just fuck it, eat some sauce. You gotta make it enjoyable. Come on, don't count these calories of sauce. Of course, you wanna go next level, you have to count these sauce, but I'm not a bodybuilder, and most people are not bodybuilders. So please eat normal. Put some sauce on your sandwich, turkey, whatever, a good meal. Eat some fruits on that, tomatoes. I think the greatest advice I can give people on nutrition is look for examples on YouTube. Look at people day of eating. Look for these examples. Try to look in your supermarket. What is possible for me to eat every day? Just find a way. And go get a coach who can help you in nutrition. Of course, that's I would say, if you have a good coach, just invest in a coach. Your life will be way easier, and a good coach will give you the right knowledge about what works for you and stuff like that. But continually after afternoon, I have breakfast. Usually, almost every day, I have some kind of meat or fish. Usually meat now, because I just feel amazing and get strength from meat. I don't know. So many people can probably debunk that with scientific knowledge, but just eat this meat, salads, cucumber, celery, lemon, tomatoes, put it together. I have a salad, I have meat, and I have some carbs, maybe some bread. I would say you have this Lebanese bread, flat bread, any kind of bread. Sometimes I have potatoes, and pasta, I like it. One thing I want to say is that when I eat home, I eat different than when I'm living alone. It's so different, because when I'm at home at my parents, I just eat whatever they make. But I have to adjust the rest of the day on that meal, because it can be whatever. It can be unhealthy too. On my page on Instagram, I have put, I think, a nutrition highlight, and you see a lot of meals. And they look delicious and they are healthy. But it's just the spices you use to give the color, like plain rice. You can make it the color. You can make it yellow. You can make it red with some stuff. And you eat with your eye. You know what I mean? So plain rice, chicken, and broccoli, yes, it works, but it's not realistic to eat that every day for many people. So you have to make it enjoyable. Nutrition is the hardest part for me to explain to people, because it's subjective. It's not objective. It's not this is the best, this is the best, this is the best. There's not a way, the best way for everybody. So it's very subjective. I think nutrition, yeah, it's so hard. It's still a learning process for me. If somebody asks, what do you eat? I can give this, it works for me, but it might not work for you. And then, yeah, you know, but as a coach, you can find a regular line what works for a lot of people, and you can from there adjust what they like. You know, there's always a way to coach people, but a lot of people don't have the money to invest in a coach. There's a lot of money, and they don't want to invest in it. But I would say, yeah, please do. You can invest in a pair of shoes of 300 euros, but not in your health. Okay, fine. Good luck. Good luck. Yeah, but that's reality. People have so much money. They have money, but they don't want to invest in the right things.
It's same with everything. It's same with sleep. You know, you have time for like 4 hours of screen time every day on your mobile phone, but you don't have time to sleep 2 hours more. So it's like everything in life is about priority and focus and acting on your goals. Wow. Super, super cool. I think we can slowly come to an end of the interview. We have like so many super interesting topics covered. I could continue talking about these for a long time because it's just so many things you can take into consideration. So many just seeing the night shift guy, so many cases you can go through and talk about like special cases. But maybe we can come back to these topics and like when people put some comments underneath which topic would be interesting for them to continue on, we can do a second episode. We always have some quick questions, quick answers at the end of every interview. So be prepared for a few ones. What's your favorite food?
Okay, I'm going for one thing I really, really enjoy after a heavy workout. Pasta with a lot of sauce, mix it, and meat, just I would say minced meat whatever.
Like, you know, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Like it's a kind of bolognese, like spaghetti bolognese kind of, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Fresh tomatoes is even better, like make sauce. Fresh tomatoes.
True.
Yeah. It's almost unbeatable.
That's true. So no far. Added sugar, like good nutritions.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
Nice. Are you more a dog or a cat person?
You know, a good friend of mine has one of the most famous dogs around is a Samoyed. It's a white one with a lot of white fluffy hairs who looks like a bear a little bit.
Okay.
I really, really love that dog and many more other dogs from my friends, actually, but I will go with a cat.
Okay. No explanation.
No, I don't know. They're very selfish, and you would say dogs are way more sweeter and stuff like that, but I don't know. cats are cleaner. Yeah, for having in a home, it's what, yeah, the stuff dogs put in the mouth. Cats keep themselves clean, you know. Yeah, I go for cats.
Okay, cool. What athletes inspire you?
Right now or back in the day?
Right now.
I have to call a name or what?
Kind of, yeah.
Because I want to go to the next level, actually, in strength, which is my focus now, it's insane to see Matthew dipping this insane numbers. I know it's possible for me. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of time I will get there. I just know. I'm already there on my mind. I'm already there. I can dream about it. That's insane. I visualize, I can adjust, I can. I know I get, I'm very strong in dips, for example, or pull-ups, I can get there. So I think it's great. I don't even follow him. That's crazy. But I saw his podcast, I saw his numbers. I'm impressed, you know. I'm not impressed a lot. I have to answer. That's because you're an athlete yourself, you're striving for the best. To get impressed, you have to see insane things to get impressed. So I think it's very inspiring to see humble, insanely strong athletes. I see the best athletes, like insane numbers and insane insane work, and they are usually very humble, especially powerlifters. You know, many powerlifters I meet, they're very humble, but they're so strong. And those people who talk, I think you can talk, but you have to prove yourself. There are many athletes in the calisthenics game who have a little bit of ego. I don't really like it. I don't think it's a great example. Staying too humble is not good as well, because I think it's good to be proud and show what you can and talk about yourself and your achievements. But I think I'm gonna follow him and then see what his life. He has an injury. I saw it even on a big fitness page. I saw he ruptured his biceps. But right now, I think it's great to see his work. Back in the day, I was very inspired by Ivan Marchioli, his muscle ups. Physique wise, it was Lazar Novovich. From Bar Brothers, founder of Bar Brothers, Dujan, very inspiring. They have been working for a long time, so it's great to learn from people from experience. And I think Adam Raw back in the day inspired me to do weighted calisthenics as well. Nice. Yeah, he's one of the OGs too. But I've not really followed him for a long time, so I don't know what's up with him.
Yeah. Yeah, but something I want to add, like, I think it's super difficult, to be honest, to be an athlete and to perform on a really, really, really high level. The difference between an athlete and an influencer is quite high, because you need, I think, different personality traits. When you are an influencer, you have to talk into the camera a lot, you have to like show everything, you tend to also be seen more, I don't know, ego, because you show everything, but this is kind of your job. So I totally understand you, but through these interviews I also learned that a lot of influencers who see their first role as an influencer, when you talk to them in such a conversation, they are also like really like us, but they need to be this like outro
energized, they have to be energized, yeah. and it's their living. Most of the influencers, their living, so their life literally depends on it. It's their job, so it's kind of acting. It might be very good for me to learn acting a little bit and sales, you know, can work way better than staying real. You know, I'm not going to say I'm real. I just am who I am. I show that. And I've seen people respect that, showing a different side than just working out and the beast, this and that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's true. It's also something that I really, really like and appreciate about the calisthenics scene is that everybody, like most of the people, are really, really humble. They love to share their advice. Also, like you, you know, like we didn't know each other first. We didn't have like a pre-talk or something. It was just jumping into the cold water with this interview. And it's like I never know what kind of person is I'm expecting on the other side, because from the photos that you post, like you look like a I don't know, like just like somebody who is like so far ahead. Like you present your physique. Somebody asked from the community, was like, I had to smile, why are you always naked on your social media? But like you know, like it's you people with a picture, it's so hard to show your personality, because I didn't know who I expect, and I'm like totally positively surprised, if I can already say.
Why are you always naked? If you look at my page, I actually wear clothes, tank tops, t-shirts, long hoodies, everything. I wear it. But these fuckers are haters, yeah? They're haters. And the only thing they can see when they see that, they don't see the hard work. They don't see the inspiration. They don't look at the comments. They see, why is this guy always naked? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
No offense to the guy, but come on. It's a perspective. You have to look. You know, whenever I see somebody on the street or whatever pictures, I see a good body, natural or not. Sometimes I care, but usually not. There is a lot of sacrifice been done to achieve this level. That's it. There's been a lot of sacrifice, dedication, hard work, and that's why these insane athletes are humble too. I can't really explain, but. Maybe because of this insane work, they get humbled. Yeah. They have been humbled before through experience. Like I had to get humbled in some competitions by some strong Russian guy. You know, I had to get humbled to get here. If I didn't get humbled, I might get maybe a bigger ego or whatever. I might get a huge ego and will not be good in the long term. It wouldn't be not good for a person being, you know.
Sure. Cool. Thanks for sharing. What's your favorite skill, like from the skill arsenal that there is in calisthenics with front lever, planche, etc.?
Is muscle up a skill?
I will also ask you about your favorite exercise. I think muscle up, of course, it's kind of a skill. Let's stay with the kind of static skills with
Static skill. From I don't know, man. It's I my roommate just came in. friends came in, and he's a static beast. And my front lever is super straight because of him. He knows how to train skills specifically. And I would say I really enjoy a really nice 10 second to 15 second front lever, super straight, having calves of 47 centimeters.
You know, in combination.
My front levers are weighted front levers, actually, you know. People don't notice, but the calves are a big, big point in calisthenics, but yeah. I'm not going to go in that subject. It's for a different time.
Yeah, we can make a calf episode, which is weight on the most like heavy lever in calisthenics when you do front lever, planche, whatever.
Yeah.
Favorite exercise?
I would say weighted dips.
I knew it.
Why? Because it's the main compound movement for me, mm-hmm. where I get the most, energy from, motivation from. That's the thing. That the dip is my bench press. Mm-hmm. You know, that's some people would say bench press because they really enjoy lifting the heavy stuff. But for me, it's the way the dip. That's it. Yeah. It used to be the muscle up. reducing the muscle up, but now I'm just going for such a high number that I'm just so addicted to weighted dips.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. What's your goal with the weighted dip? Like what kg number do you have in mind when you're satisfied?
I would say I'm gonna get 160 very soon, 160 kilograms. My body weight is 88, 89. Wow. I'm 177, so it's like damn, very heavy for my height.
Damn.
Weighted dips. What was the question again?
What's your goal for the weighted dip, future goal?
Yeah, I would say first goal on 60. When I've done that, it's not even the limit, I believe. So I can go higher. It would be amazing to have numbers who are very hard to beat. As an all-round athlete, physique, endurance, skills, flexibility. Yeah, I look at all these things when I just look at athletes. When you focus just strength, I would say it's not super easy, but it's way easier than doing everything. So an all-round athlete can still run, can still do this, you know, the daily stuff. But if you're just pure strength, you know, it's way easier to just focus on one thing. That's mm-hmm. it. It's way easier. When you could do more things, I would believe more respect. I have more respect for somebody, especially calisthenics athlete, who take legs seriously. I don't know. It's just a complete, it's your build, you know, your legs is 50% of your body, and just train them, okay? Just train them, do whatever. Just train them and don't skip them. I have many more respect for people who just look at the whole complete thing. Yeah.
Do you make an excuse for freestyle, or are you somebody who doesn't like freestyle at all because like legs are not a role at all?
Legs play a role in almost everything in calisthenics. Maybe push-ups they don't, but every pulling movement, every static, legs do really make a difference in how hard something gets. I'm used to having heavier legs. Yeah, maybe not super tall or long, but they are heavy from the beginning. So I got used. That's why for me it's easier to say that it's possible than somebody who built bigger legs throughout the years. You know, mm-hmm. my legs didn't really grow in size; they just got more defined and stronger. I don't know better. You know, I've been heavy all my life, and they have been big all my life. So in freestyle. So can we make an excuse on freestyle on legs? No, fuck off. No excuses. Train your legs.
Okay.
Yeah, train your legs. Fuck off.
Okay.
Train your legs. Come on. Or maybe it's even a split or whatever. You know, static stretching. Train them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Pull or push?
Push.
Push. Do you have a favorite movie?
Did somebody ask this?
No, it's like the quick questions that I always ask.
Okay.
At the end.
Okay. this one movie. It's a mafia movie. I really liked it. It's not Godfathers, but it's the other one with the guy who moves the meat and is in a drugs cartel. Oh man, so bad it's this stuff. I don't watch a lot of movies, but I have some favorites. I like The Revenant. I like Batman, the first one. The latest one I don't really like. I like the old Batman. It's very motivating to see this guy. You know, he's very well built, successful superhero. Batman, I don't know. I don't know. It's a very hard question for me.
It's okay. I think The Revenant and Batman are good movies.
Yeah.
And I think it fits your scheme of competition, like oriented and just this mindset of not quitting. I, yeah. just my thoughts spoken out. What's your favorite music genre? What music do you listen to?
You have these Spotify things where you can see what's the most listened number. I would say it would go to R&B hip hop, but I have moments with a lot of trance music. What's this kind of style Ziz always listens? Maybe hard style, I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know Ziz bra.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. What's the best calisthenics event you've been at so far?
Actually, one of my greatest, most enjoyable was the one in Berlin.
Oh.
I competed. I didn't get first three places because I was a beginner back in the day. My example was Ivan Marchioni in competing, but it was calisthenics in Bremen. It was this park, Berlin. It was in Berlin. Yeah, it was in Berlin.
Mm-hmm. I think the Cali Games, I guess. What was it, Cali Games?
It's a good thing, but I had like 30 squats with 100 kilogram without training.
Wow.
I was fourth place actually with the legend Ivan Marchioli and some other German strong dude. I'm going to pass him, no problem, but he was on the place on the podium too. But a very big guy, I don't know, some guy from Germany, very strong guy, mm-hmm. and some other dude as well. But when I saw them on the podium, I was like, yeah, just give me some years and I will be there too.
Nice.
Yeah. So that was my favorite one because it taught me a lesson that I was actually afraid to compete because I felt like I wasn't ready, but I was already insanely strong. But somebody had to tell me. Ivan told me, "I see potential. Please do something with it. If you don't do it, you're kind of wasting opportunities maybe or chances to learn." So he taught me certain things about competing, and so far it brings the best out of me. So these challenging events, I get very, very exciting and motivated when I join these competitions. I get so strong in the competitions. I get nervous, but very good nervous. So I get pumped actually. So it's a very good advantage for me to compete. Why? When I see these people, I get certain good pressure to get stronger, to compete even better. And some guys, they have their training, they get 10 muscle ups, for example. They compete, they get 6 or 7. Why? They're nervous. They rush into the sets and the reps, and they're not getting the 10 or even more. For me, it's opposite. I usually get more in competition than my training.
Yeah,
I get so much energy from these people. You're surrounded by the people you need. Actually, everyone is doing the same over there, but just in their own way.
Yeah. Well, nice. I just realized, like, because you also talked so much about Ivan, who also played a big role in our brand history, because he was kind of the first big supporter that we had of our brand. He was the first guy repping the Never Give Up Only Pull Up shirt, and and I was like, I will never forget the situation in Bremen where I never sold a shirt before in my life, just to friends in school who wanted to support the first shirt. And he was, I wanted to gift him a shirt. I want to say, here, I really admire you. Yeah, I would love to give you this shirt as a gift. And he wanted to pay for it. And he didn't stop like saying, man, I want to pay for the shirt. How much do you get from me? And I was
He's like this, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like so stunned. Imagine, like, he was the god, you know, like he was like the calisthenics guy back then for muscle ups. Everybody knew him. So this is why I have to smile that Ivan is like also played such a big role and saw the potential in you.
So much other athletes as well. People have never seen muscle ups in their life, and Ivan, I would say millions of people actually have seen a Muslim in their life because of him.
Yeah.
He was literally the starter of Muslim, maybe not the founder, but he was one of the first ever online seeing Muslims.
Yeah.
Like, I think Muslims are literally an art of seeing when you see him.
True.
It's just insane. Nobody beats him. Everybody can discuss, but nobody beats the beauty of his Muslim, because he's 190 centimeters and he just flows. Like, it's just natural, as if it's natural. And of course, you have some other strong athletes upcoming, and you have people who do 40, 50 kilogram muscle-ups. I don't care. Nobody gets close to Ivan the way he does it, in the amount he does it. So people can do 3 or 2 like him, but not 20. He does 20 like the first rep. It's insane. I think he just found his strength, and he's been doing it and focusing. He is still the champ in muscle-ups. I hope he makes a comeback. Ivan, if you see this, make a comeback. But yeah, it's insane how much people he inspired with muscle-ups.
True. Really, really nice. I really enjoyed this interview. Last question to you. What's your message to the calisthenics community? What is something that you want to tell the listeners after all this useful advice about your routine, about your life?
If you're afraid to start, don't be afraid, make the step, go to the park. Don't be afraid to talk to people and ask questions. That's a big advice. I used to be so alone and use Google for my only information, but please ask around, send DMs to people if you have questions. Just gather information, adapt to your own, and see how far you can get with that. And just don't give up on the first day or the first week if you don't get results. Stay consistent and never give up.
Nice. Thanks a lot for this interview. How can people get in touch with you? How can they find you? Do you offer some coaching, something like,
Yeah, you can find me on YouTube, Badr VDS. On Instagram, it's my main channel. That's the biggest audience I got. I'm mainly active on Instagram. So Instagram, YouTube. That's it. So I will be more active on YouTube very soon. But Instagram, to stay up to date, you can always message me and see if I can help you. I do offer coaching, but I'm in preparation for some competitions. So that's main priority with working 40 hours a week. It's very hard to coach more clients than I do right now, but you can always see, maybe you're an experienced athlete. I really enjoy working with experienced athletes. I get very energized to see progress on them.
Cool. We will link all the social medias in the description. So thanks to everyone listening to this till the end. I really appreciate everyone listening to such a long interview, but I think it was fully packed with useful advice. So first big thank you goes to really to you, Badreddin. It was really an honor to talk to you. Went like super, super well. And I learned a lot for myself as well and got inspired. So I'm going to head to the workout now directly after this, being fully pumped. And thanks a lot for your time.
Yeah, kill your workout. Thanks a lot. And hopefully till the next time.
Hopefully, yes. So if you have any further questions, leave them in the description. I think it would really be interesting to dive deep into one specific topic after this one. So thank you.
Thank you.